You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Therapy is a great thing to do if you feel like you're at a point where you need to talk about things with someone coming from an objective point of view, who can also provide you with tools to, you know, help mitigate, you know, some of that stress or anxiety. And so that's something that, you know, I do try to put into practice. The world moves so fast. We're so constantly inundated. It's really, really important to just take any time that you can for yourself, no matter how short it is, like just any time where you can just kind of just exist. We talked about a lot of those themes on Comedian for sure. You know, that was something that kind of, there is a kind of like a thread of, I feel, kind of anxiety through the whole record, whether in the way the vocals sound at certain times, even just the guitar tones and things like that. It can be a pretty frantic record at times.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. I hope that you had a great weekend. I most certainly did. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal are Montreal's premier metal promoter, and if you are ever in Montreal and are looking for a killer gig to go to, well, Heavy Montreal will have you covered. I'm beyond stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, today's artist spotlight, I'm very stoked to be shining some light on Ophidian Eye. Ophidian Eye are a killer band from Reykjavik, Iceland. Back in 2021, they dropped a killer album called Desolate, and here is a track from that. Get ready, everyone. This is Sequential Descent.
Yeah.
I'm super stoked to be showcasing Ophidian Eye. I'm actually a really big fan of Desolate. Christian Donaldson, my guitarist, produced it, so I'm super stoked about that. Ophidian Eye are now busy writing their follow-up to Desolate. You can catch their guitarist, Dan Conradson, because he's hitting the road on the European festivals because he is a member of Aborted. So go and catch Aborted and say hi to Dan if you do see him. Desolate dropped back in July of 2021, and I'm a huge fan of this record. Massive thanks to Ophidian Eye for being on today's Artist Spotlight. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I would love for you to tell a friend about the podcast. If there's someone in your life that is just a killer all-around musician, well, you should absolutely let them know that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. You could tell them that there are over 400 episodes where I sit down with some of the world's best metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. If you would encourage one of your musical friends to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today on the podcast, I'm very stoked to be with Anthony Kwan of Without Waves. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops, episode number 413.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Anthony Kwan of Without Waves. Anthony, how are you doing?
How's it going, dude? Thanks for having me.
Very, very stoked to be with you. As I was mentioning before we pushed record here, I am talking to you thanks to the power of my inbox. The Vox and Hops inbox has many PR messages that come daily, and sometimes I miss some of the stuff that I should be checking out. And thanks to Metal Trenches, the YouTube channel, awesome content creator. I was checking out all the year-end wrap-up stuff, and there was this album, Comedian, which funnily enough I had downloaded because the album art is so interesting, and I tend to just add stuff that looks cool, but I don't think I actually got around to actually really listening to it until I saw the Metal Trenches promotion about you guys. It was definitely right up my alley. If anyone knows me, they know that I love extreme music, progressive music, music that can't be labeled properly. So I reached out to Prosthetic Records, Will, specifically to set up this chat, and here we are. I'm very, very stoked to be with you. Well, let's start with a very simple, how has 2023 been so far?
It's been good, yeah. We, as a band, I mean, we went on an East Coast run, like a shorter East Coast run before the beginning of the year. And now we're actually we're in Madison right now. We're going to play a show in about an hour, hour and a half, or whatever the case, so... it's fun, yeah.
I'm jealous that you're playing a show tonight, and I'm not. It's been far too long since Cryptopsy's been on stage, so
yeah,
we'll come back eventually, and we'll hopefully hit up the Madison area, the Chicago area.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you taking the time before a gig, because I know that a lot of people have, like, pre-show rituals, and I hope that you still have some time for some of your rituals. What would your rituals be before you step on stage after we finish this interview?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a great question. Those have changed over the years. I think, like, there were times where I was doing a lot of, like, vocal warm-ups and things like that, so usually sitting in this position in my car, actually.
It's funny how that becomes the spot.
Yeah, sometimes it does, depending on your green room setup or whatever. But, lately, like, a lot of what I do is just, like, I make sure I stay as hydrated as I can be, and then a little bit of, like, just kind of mouth stretching, and then... some vocal warm-ups prior to, so yeah.
It's something that happens that they evolve over time as we tour more and more, because there's that fear that we're going to lose our voice, because I don't know if it's like this thing that happens that our family members are like, how are you doing that? You're going to destroy your voice. Comments that echoes its way into our brain. And then the more that we do it, the less we end up doing before the show, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. There is something to that, you know, just as far as, I've had a lot of people say that too, where it's just like, I can't believe you can do that. Sometimes when I was just talking to, the singer from we're playing with the band Faith Hills Have Eyes about this, and he was asking the same question, you know, and it's just like, yeah, you know, like if I go into it just kind of clear-headed, do a little bit of stretching, like,
oh yeah,
that's the best I can hope for, actually.
Oh yeah, because it's tension that will cause more issues once you're live and you're not comfortable, and then you're nervous, and then it throws you into a real shithole. You need to be really relaxed when you're performing extreme vocals, despite the way that it looks which is half the battle, because we have to make it look really difficult, but it's not.
And like, I don't nearly do as like much like just the craziness, like as far as what you do, as far as, because you have gone from like you have true, like just like the thickness of your screams and stuff like that.
Well, thank
whereas
you.
I'm more of a, I think I'm more of a, maybe like a shouter overall, but like being able to kind of go back and forth between, you know, singing, screaming, you know, as clearly as possible. Like, you know, that's something, it is difficult, especially if you're like wound up. You know, I'll show up to shows sometimes where it's just like, if I'm anxious, like I can tell, I can definitely tell. So, yeah.
Well, I will help you a little bit with the hydration part of your pre-show ritual right now. It's Vox and Hops. Let's do it. Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives and music while sharing craft beers, typically. Now, you're sitting in your car, so I will not let you drink a beer just in case a cop comes around. So what are you going to be drinking tonight?
I have this water brand called... Clairbrun.
Okay.
Clairbrun.
I don't know. It sounds fancy, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's pure drinking water. So it is water purified by reverse osmosis. So yeah, I am staying hydrated. So
very good. But you did mention before we pressed record that you do have a six pack that you would like to promote without drinking.
Yeah. So we're up in Wisconsin, and so I got a six pack of New Glarus Brewing Company. They're nice. Very popular up here. This was one that I grabbed. It's a honey lager. I don't know if it's their most popular beer or whatever the case, but when in Rome, you know.
Absolutely. And then the honey will, you know, after the set, if you enjoy some of those, might actually help your voice in a different way. As dehydrated. I have something funky here from a brand new brewery. I'm up here in Quebec in Montreal. This brewery is from the city of Quebec in the province of Quebec. It's brand new. They just got their tap room up and running back in December 2022. This is from Nano Cinco. They've been doing like this whole weird like fast food reference things. So this one's called Pizza 2 for 1 in French, though, Pizza de Poulain. It's a thing up here. I think it's a thing in the whole world, and where you buy one pizza and you pay for one pizza and you get two for one pizzas. Anyways, this is a double IPA, which is hopped with Brew One, Nelson Sauvage, Citra, El Dorado, Incognito hops. It's a 7.6% double IPA. I am stoked about Nano Cinco. I have not met anyone from them, I don't believe, but I'm a huge fan of what they've been doing, especially on the haze side. So I'm excited to pour this out. While I'm pouring this out, I would love to hear about your very first beer.
My very first beer. That was probably, oh my God, it was the worst beer ever. It's probably a natural ice. I was good in high school. I really didn't drink at all in high school. Maybe a Mike's Hard Lemonade or something random like that. But once I got into college, that was like the beer of choice, just because that's what anyone could get their hands on. And that was the 30 pack. When you're 18, 19 and you can't buy it yourself, 30 pack, cheap, gets the job done. Awful beer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It totally fueled my Summer Slaughter 2008 run, my first U.S. tour with Cryptopsy. That's all we drank. That we only drank that, and it was just horrible, but yet super fun. You know, those memories that we can't forget. You do live in Chicago, or I assume you're from Chicago. I could be wrong here. Yeah. So you do live in Chicago, which is basically a craft beer mecca. Have you ever since then progressed into the world of craft beer?
A little bit. You know, I'm definitely not a huge craft beer guy overall. I actually past couple of years I've gotten really into wine. And so I've gone down like that red wine rabbit hole and kind of figuring out like the difference in taste profiles and stuff like that. But usually when I'm drinking beer, I usually like to keep it simple. Like I don't know if I'm not celiac, but I have sort of a gluten intolerance sometimes. So I if I'm drinking like the heavier beers or like hoppier beers, if I have too many of those will mess with me a little. I usually go with like a beer for tacos. I forget the the name of the company.
So it's like a Mexican lager, basically, I would assume.
Yeah, it's their version of a cerveza, and then it's like lime and salt. Oh my God, I can't remember the name of the company, but Beer for Tacos. That's a tasty one in the summer. So
hell yes, I like that very much. Classic Vox and Hops question, the soundtrack of your youth when you were growing up in your parents' or guardians' house. What music was playing when you were not in control of the radio? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
Wow. I remember my stepdad really liked, he's a big Elvis fan. My mom liked a lot of musicals like Andrew Lloyd Webber, things like that.
We couldn't get away from those in the 90s for some reason.
No, that was like such an apex of that. And then my dad, he was really into like, I think R&B. So I remember... my dad lived in Ohio when I was growing up, so I'd visit him a couple times a year. And I think the first tape I wore out, this is probably kind of embarrassing to say, but I don't give a fuck, was the second Boyz II Men record.
Like, oh, hell yes. Those harmonies were tight, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, they knew what they were doing. That was like, I think Babyface was writing a lot of their songs at that point.
What was the hit on that one? Probably a lot of them, but...
End of the Road was like a popular one.
They still finished with that.
Yeah. I was more into the deep cuts, you know, but
that's super sick. At what point did you start bringing music into the house, and what was your parents' reaction to you having your own musical identity?
I was maybe 12, 13, like right when it was like 98, 99. And so I remember kind of going out of like being around all my friends, listening to like hip hop and R&B and stuff like that. And then someone, I don't know, gave me a Korn CD. And then I was like, wait, oh, this sounds like this, but this is way heavier or whatever. And that became a bridge to everything else. So Korn was probably, yeah, that was kind of like my gateway band for getting into metal. So
absolutely, yeah. Same. Very similar to my path. Marilyn Manson first, and then Korn, and then everything else afterwards. It was just like a spiral of how can we get heavier? How can it be more extreme? I was a very sheltered child. How could it be more scary? I remember falling asleep to Antichrist Superstar and being like, I'm there's bad things that are going to happen to me because I'm falling asleep to Antichrist, and this is a true story. At what point did music become a part of your life, like guitar wise voice? You're hard to pin down because you sound like a singer. Like when I was doing my research after discovering the band through Comedian, and I wouldn't have been surprised if you were a standing singer and not doing both. The fact that you're doing both, I'm on the fence of, did you sing first or did you play guitar first, basically?
Both kind of happened at the same time. So Without Waves is interesting because three out of the four of us, we've been playing together since we were 16. I'm a guitar player, Zach, and drummer Gary. We started playing, and we were initially just like, I mean, we were doing Slayer covers, System of a Down covers. So it was kind of a combination of like screaming and singing for me, because I was like the vocalist pretty much right away. And then,
was that because you wanted to be or out of necessity?
Probably a little bit of both. Like I think when we were trying to kind of figure those things out. Yeah. I mean, it just sort of naturally kind of fell in that way. Zach wasn't initially even playing guitar. And then he eventually kind of discovered the instrument, and got really good really quickly. And then, yeah, we basically just kind of found ourselves, playing a bunch of thrash stuff, in the band previous to Without Waves. And then John, our bass player, he's been with us since college. So, I mean, it's been a long time that we've all been together. So
look, you guys just blossoming together. I like it. I think that I love hearing stories about this. Like, we started a band and I've been in one band and I'm like, wow. Compared to like other people we talk to, like let's say Bryce Butler, the drummer of Shadow of Intent, he's been in like every fucking band. It's just crazy.
dude, it's unique, man. Like, and it's really cool having that, you know, consistency overall of just like, you know, I guess knowing the other people around you. Obviously, like, you benefit from playing with other people too, you know, but like, it's unique in the sense that like we've been doing, and then Without Waves has been around since 2010. So, you know, we've been kind of in this, we started Without Waves kind of with the intent of being able to kind of do whatever we want, you know, without it necessarily.
Well, you definitely have. That's for damn sure. With the genre blending, then I'm building towards that still. I'd love to hear about the first musical show that you went to go see. Do you remember the first live musical experience that you went to?
My first like big real concert was Korn. That was the
Me too.
Issues.
I think.
Was it really?
I think it might have been. Or I think it might have been Korn. I think that's it. But it was the album before. I think I just Follow the Leader. Me.
Yeah. Oh, Follow the Leader. Yeah. Yeah. I remember I was into them at that point, but we didn't see them. It was like, oh God, it must have been like October of 99. So it was like a month before their fourth record Issues came out. And it was them. It was Stained. And then Mindless Self-Indulgence opened up.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, which is always a trip. It was always a trip back then. I don't know if they're still active, but they were fun to watch.
They're on and off, I think, a little bit, but they were fucked up. Yeah, I saw them at a really small club once. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. And yeah, no, that was the first show. A couple of friends and I and my dad took us to see it, and
so cool.
He's funny too, because my stepdad, I call him my dad because he's been in my life since I was four, but he was a school teacher.
And, oh, cool. What age did he teach?
Junior high, primarily. Okay. He's still in education and whatnot.
Really?
He's at a school in Chicago and whatnot. But, he took us to the show. And so he was aware of Korn, but, you know, like.
It's pretty far from not, Elvis.
Yeah, yeah. Not a fan. And I remember, you know, we got there and then we went to the show and, like, you know, our 13, 14-year-old selves were just like, having a great time. We're leaving and he's like, yeah, I really Sting has really changed. And I was like, damn. No, that was Stained. That wasn't Sting from the Police. Yeah.
Like, damn. Imagine that. Imagine Sting was Aaron Lewis.
I you know, Korn Sting tour. I think that should happen. That would be,
I think nowadays it could be pulled off better than in 1999. That's for damn sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Comedian came out, Prosthetic Records, January 14th, an early release, 2022. I've been saying it a lot. I've said it a few times. You've named yourself as a post-progressive is the term that you like to go by. Created Without Waves back in 2010 so that you can do whatever the fuck you wanted, and that's exactly what you guys have done. There seems to be no limitations whatsoever. Is that easy, or does that make writing songs harder?
I think maybe a little bit of both, because, you know, I guess from an artistic standpoint, you allow for whatever coming out to come out, you know? And so it's kind of a safe space for that, where you can kind of actually experiment and mess around and not necessarily be held back by, you know, a different way you go about it. You know what it is, and then you're trying to kind of get to that goal. At the same time, Zach and I, we're the primary songwriters. Like, we are prone to be pretty highly critical of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our writing over the years, like every single record that we've done, we've gotten better and more efficient at writing and recording. And so, like, right now, for example, I'm pretty stoked because so far since we've been back home, we probably have, from the tour in December, like, we probably have like four songs already.
Nice.
Which is really good for us. Like normally, like, we're pretty, we take our time, we let things kind of like sit for a little bit. But I think as time has gone on, it has become easier. With that being said, you know, we kind of go about it where, like, we don't know what something is until we have, you know, maybe a grouping or collection of songs that kind of bring it together. Comedian was probably our best foot forward, as far as, like, most of those songs were written over a 2 to 3 year period, as opposed to Lunar, the previous record. That record was probably written over like a 5 or 6 year period, you know? So there's, like, that record to me sounds like maybe 2 or 3 different versions of ourselves. whereas comedian feels a little bit more congealed.
It's just like hashing down the identity, because there's just there's too many doors to be explored if there are no unexplorable genre, if you understand what I mean. When you started in 2010, yeah, it was like you could do anything, and you and Zach basically, and have been doing it for so long together with Gary, that you could have like started four bands together and have four different projects, but you decided to put everything into one and make it flow seamlessly, which is something that you have achieved with comedians. So you've really like hashed down, like, this is our identity. Yes, we are a bunch of stuff, but this is what Without Waves is. And now when you're writing new songs, you basically have that framework to work within, that umbrella that encompasses what you guys are, the entity of the band. And you have the critical acclaim that comedian receives, so you know that you're onto something. So that must make it a little bit easier.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think especially we put a lot of work into this record, just both conceptually and, you know, it all kind of pieced together as we were writing, as we were recording, figuring out artwork and lyrical themes that just we're writing, and then we're like, oh, wow, that's connected to this. Like, there's a lot there. Like, if you really kind of even just read through the lyrics, there's a definite thread running through the whole record. So, yeah, with that foundation, it's good. At the same time, too, I sometimes struggle because I do want to, you know, definitely, I don't know, improve that identity, too. Every time you release something, you want it to be better than what you released before, you know? So
it's like fine-tuning, like a back to beer. Unlike the what's happening in the modern craft beer scene, where breweries have to release 2-3 beers every month to keep customers enticed. The classic Belgian way of making beers is they make a beer and they're like, this is our beer, and then they remake it all the time. Like, every week they're remaking a thing. So on an album scale thing, but every time they remake it, they refine the recipe, the way that they brew it, to make it better and better, which is what you guys are doing with the new material now. So now you know what your recipe is, but you can fine tune it to make it even more Without Waves.
No, that's a good analogy to use. I think that's pretty applicable in this case. So
it's always about beer with me.
So have you always been like a big craft beer person? Like, what originally got you? Like, what spawned, I guess, the podcast and combining that?
Well, I started touring that Summer Slaughter tour. I drank a lot of natural ices, but I also drank some Sierra Nevada for the first time and Blue Moons. I was in Atlanta at the Old Masquerade, and there was a little convenience store that me and Christian Donaldson, my guitarist, walked to. We drank some of those, and I was like, what is this hoppy profile? Flash forward a few years, here in Montreal, there's a beer called Yakima IPA from Le Castel. Hoppy beer, and then it just spiraled until the fact that I realized that I wanted to talk to fellow metal musicians about their lives and music while sharing craft beer for most of my life.
That's awesome.
For over 400 episodes now, I think it's pretty cool. Back to the post-progressive label, do you find, and you, I like to ask shitty questions sometimes, has it held you back at all? The genre, like being undefinable, is it something that's held back the band in any way when you're like booking tours or trying to put packages together? Is it something of like a limitation, not being so clearly definable?
I think it can be interpreted kind of both ways. And in one way, sure, maybe it's been a little bit more difficult depending on like the branding of a certain tour, you know, and how you'd potentially fit in. At the same time, with there being variety in what we do, there's a lot of bills and tours we potentially like fit on and complement, you know. So it's probably a combination of both in that respect. But like post progressive, that label is really kind of like the label that we've really only been able to put over something because it's not just post progressive, but at the same time, it's like, I personally don't know what else to call it. You can call it alt prog, you know, you can call it we get called metalcore a lot.
I don't say, the whole genre things is very complex, and that's why I'm tackling it so much with you, is because you, Cryptopsy, we get hit with the same thing all the time, that we're, you know, we're at the base level of everything, we're a death metal band, right? But we do so much more than just square cookie cutter death metal. So,
oh yeah, no, like you guys have like so much fucking groove compared to like what you would think of, like just your, again, cookie cutter like death metal way of going about things,
which is why, yeah, Flo just started calling it extreme music, which fits in with Morbid Angel. Obviously they also like to use that too, but yeah, the genres are something that was created for the music industry to classify everything, to sell it appropriately in compact disc stores, so that everyone had a section, and I guess they would monitor sales that way. But nowadays, if you look on, like I'm on Apple Music, there's a metal button, you know, like... I think it's interesting if you look at stuff like that. Metal's an umbrella that can cover a lot of things.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the One Hit Thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the duchy, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.
Something that's really important for me that I've been talking a lot about throughout the past year on the podcast is mental health, and your lyrics really, really tie in a lot of stuff with that. For Comedian, you mentioned that there's humor in human tragedy, and you go through a lot of that throughout your lyrics. Talk to me about mental health and the importance of it for yourself, and what tactics you use to make yourself feel better if ever you feel like shit.
Absolutely. I am a highly anxious person, and that can vary to certain degrees depending on, you know, stress levels and things like that. But like, therapy is a great thing to do if you feel like you're at a point where you need to talk about things with someone, coming from an objective point of view, who can also provide you with tools to, you know, help mitigate, you know, some of that stress or anxiety. And so that's something that, you know, I do try to put into practice. I've especially tried to put into practice more recently, as far as just kind of getting into a groove of incorporating it more into routine, you know, and making sure to take time. The world moves so fast. We're so constantly inundated. And yeah, it's really, really important to just take any time that you can for yourself, no matter how short it is, like just any time where you can just kind of just exist and be without there being something else in front of you or in the way. That's a big, big thing. And that we talked about a lot of those themes on Comedian for sure. You know, that was something that kind of, there is a kind of like a thread of, I feel, kind of anxiety through the whole record, whether in the way the vocals sound at certain times, yeah, even just the guitar tones and things like that, it can be a pretty frantic record at times. So
absolutely. Is that something that like you figured out that you needed to talk to someone, and you did that, and then you felt okay, and then the world just overwhelmed you, so you had to set in routines for yourself to keep yourself at a level of comfort, so you're not being destabilized by the fast-moving world?
Yeah, I think it's more so like, it's... You know, prior to going to therapy, or if you haven't gone before, I think a lot of people will look at it like, oh, I can go to therapy for a little while and that'll help me. Fix is the word. Yeah, you're right. When in reality, it's just maintenance, you know, like depending on...
We're old cars.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it really is. You know, it's like I just turned 37 a month ago, and thinking about where I was, you know, even 10 years ago, and my tolerance, you know, for stress and anxiety, or like fight or flight situations. There is a point where like you get to a certain certain point quicker between that 1 and 10 scale of kind of feeling that anxiety. And so, yeah, I would say definitely over the past couple of years, I've kind of gotten a lot closer to 10 faster in certain situations. So you have to go through and you have to like put in a little, it doesn't take that much work. It's a little bit of work here and there just to kind of keep yourself at bay. And my girlfriend's a therapist too. Not that I talk to her about my problem specifically, but it is kind of fascinating too. You know, she graduated from grad school last year and is working as a therapist now. So even just some of the practices and things like that, that she's learned, that she's utilized herself, that she shares with her clients and things like that, it's all very useful.
Well, we're humans and we're not perfect, and it's okay to not be perfect, and it's okay to take time to recharge ourselves and work on ourselves. And you know, if you, by writing a record that touches on so many things, helps open up someone's eyes about that, and then they take the steps that they need to make themselves better and to keep their car running smoothly, if we're going to keep going with that analogy, then that's fucking awesome. I think it's super positive. The world does move really, really fucking quickly now. The internet is a dangerous yet beautiful place. I put all the power to you for using your voice to help others. I think it's really, really cool.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. No, it's just, if you feel like you could benefit from something like that, you just try it out. You know, it doesn't hurt. It certainly doesn't hurt.
And the whole band was on board once you came to them with this concept, because it's not a concept record, but there's like interwoven things that do sort of branch between each song that comes back around and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't necessarily something that was presented like, this is how we're going to do it. Like, all the songs kind of naturally, even if I'm just speaking from a lyrical standpoint, like sometimes when I'm writing something, I don't quite know what it's about until I've written it, you know, completely.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it organically manifests. Same thing with when we're writing the music too. And that's generally when you know it's real and it's good. It's like when you can, you know, feel it, where it's almost like it just comes out of you and you don't even realize it. It's 3 hours later and you've written something and you're like, oh my God, yeah, this is exactly how I'm feeling.
Where do lyrics come to you? Like where do you actively sit to write? Is it while you're sitting in your car driving? How do you come about with your lyrical writing process?
You know, if we're working on a song, right, you know, and one of us comes in with a collection of riffs and we're starting to kind of organize it, we're still one of those bands that will, you know, sometimes we'll do the work at home. Other times we'll grab a couple riffs and actually jam it out in the room. But yeah, depending on what we have there, it starts with a melody, you know, like sometimes I will hum or sing a melody and won't quite know what the words are yet, but I know what the hook is.
And interesting. So it's always clean vocals first and harsh second.
Actually, sometimes it includes harsh. I'm not screaming at full blast when I'm in my car driving around humming melodies. But like at the same time, you know, if I'm thinking of a hook, but it's like more of a screamy hook, you know, that'll come out, but I might not know the words quite yet. But there are instances where I will just say a line, and then that happened on Comedian. There were several lines that just sort of came out. They were what they were. And then I was like, oh, okay. So that might be what this song is about.
Oh, and the lyrics come out, and that those are the lyrics that stay and live.
Yeah, yeah. And in some,
very cool.
You know, it depends on the tune and, you know, your frame of mind. But yeah, mm-hmm.
I think it's, I have to like sit and actively say I'm writing a song today. If not, I just won't do it. I have to carve out time to make it happen, and then that works better for me.
Yeah, absolutely. That in itself too is a great practice. You know, like that's something more recently I've been trying to do, just because you know, a lot of times it's more efficient, of course, and if you have the time to do that, like, and sit down and really just separate and. I did that like 2 weeks ago. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to sit down. I'm just going to try to write a song all the way through. And I did, you know, and might be something that's used, might be something that's not. But at the same time, it kind of gets your gets those muscles, you know, going. You know?
Speaking of muscles, I'm doing a new segment called Fight the Hops, where I ask my guests to tell me about something that they are working on, a small goal. It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be career-wise, that they hope to achieve within the next month or so. Let's say month, 2 month, 3 month goal, something achievable, something obtainable. What are you doing right now to fight the hops?
What am I doing right now to fight the hops? I am, musically or just in general?
It could be anything. It's. I've had people tell me that they want to look good naked. I've had people tell me that they want to get some. It wasn't, but do you know Garrity?
Yes. So Gary, our drummer, toured with Garrity and Wolfhammer, actually. So
were they in a band together?
Gary did a tour with Wolfhammer, and then I think Garrity was playing bass with them.
Exactly. So 100% Garrity was at Wolfhammer, yeah. Garrity sometimes wants to look good naked, yes, but it was not Garrity.
he's a fun personality.
He's the best.
In general, like... I'm going to refinance my student loans soon. So that's something good. And then musically, I'm going to put into practice, I think, what I was just kind of talking about. We've already written roughly like 4 tunes for whatever we're putting out next. And so between what Zach and I kind of have separately, I think the goal would be to try to get at least 1 or 2 of those done in the next, you know, month or two or whatever the case, or at least presented to the band where we can start demoing and stuff like that.
Amazing. Is it a goal sort of to get new music out quicker because of the success of Comedian?
Yes. And also quicker just because historically we've gotten better every time we've done it and done it quicker, but we want to get something out quicker just for the sake of just being more efficient and things like that. Like, Comedian probably would have been out sooner, except we were just finishing like recording the record right when COVID hit. And so that was sort of like, okay, well, let's just see how this plays out. We'll mix it, you know, take our time with that. And then, you know, obviously, you know how that rolled out. So,
it's not Steve Joe that's breathing down your neck for a new record.
No. Steve, he might come tonight, actually.
Oh, cool. You tell him I say hi. Yeah.
I will, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Amazing. It's true. He's up there. It's true.
I'm just picturing Steve Joe on his phone. Give me the fucking record. Like, no, he's not
he's
like
the
that
nicest
at all.
Guy ever. Prosthetic is a cool label. They have eclectic stuff, which is awesome, with bands like Volcandra, you guys, Undeath. You know, I think it's cool that a bunch of different stuff is coming out on a record label. So cheers to Steve Joe for keeping the metal scene alive. And that umbrella that I was talking about before is healthy and alive at Prosthetic. And I think that's fucking awesome. I love making collabs. I've made probably 60 to 80 in the past 4 years for the podcast. I have 30 more of them coming up this year. If you could make your own collab for yourself or Without Waves, what would it be? Hypothetically, a wine. It doesn't have to be alcohol related. It could basically be anything. I've made teas. I've made coffees. What would be the perfect collab for you?
A wine would be awesome. I would really like that. I've been really into red wine the past couple of years. A good Pinot Noir would be really cool. But it would take, maybe we'll do something like that down the line. We did get to do a fun collaboration, when the record came out, Kuma's Corner.
Yeah. I love them. Yeah.
Great, great people. Our bass player, John, actually works for them, at their Schaumburg in the suburbs. Yeah.
That's amazing. They've had one of my collabs on tap before with the Miskatonic Brewing.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Two of them, I think, maybe actually even. Yeah.
They're good people, and obviously their food is delicious, and they made a burger for us
when the
record came out.
What was the burger?
What do we have? So we had a fried egg, we had cilantro, we had this like pink sauce on it, like this sort of...
Oh, to go with the album cover.
Yeah. So it was like a sriracha aioli or something like that. I forget exactly, but... But yeah, no, it was really good. And then what did we do for the cheese? I forget the cheese. Either way, it was really tasty. They did a great job.
That's awesome. I think that's super cool. And cheers to Kuma's Corner for being the most metal burger place probably in the world.
Indeed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ottawa has a close competition called the Coven, which is ran by a very cool dude in Ottawa. And there's a Cryptopsy burger on that one.
What's the Cryptopsy burger?
I think it's smoked meat or something. It's totally not the perfect Cryptopsy burger because one of us is a vegetarian and I'm a vegan. So it's definitely not the perfect Cryptopsy burger, but all the power to the Coven crew for including Montreal band Cryptopsy at their restaurant in Ottawa. I have one last question, classic Vox and Hops wrap-up question. It probably doesn't happen to you very often because, maybe it does because you enjoy red wine and every once in a while you make the bad decision of opening the extra bottle late at night because, you know, we all own those like that takes all the air out of the bottle and we just never use it. We never use that. I don't use that. So when that happens, you know, what is your hangover cure?
Oh, man. Ramen.
Oh, yeah, you're not the first person to say that. Yeah.
I had it actually for the first time. My girlfriend introduced me to it. And there's a place in Chicago. There's two places that I like, but there's a place in Chicago in Logan Square called Wasabi. And then there's another place in Wicker Park called Oystar. Both are very, very good. But yeah, there's like a spicy garlic miso at Wasabi that, like, I don't know, on a cold winter or fall day, you're stumbling in like Sunday afternoon, you feel like complete hot, wet garbage, and you eat that and just it all melts away. Like it's just such a warm, welcoming meal, you know, like it's really, really, really good. They got great pork belly there. So.
Very cool. It's the salt that gets you. That's what saves you. I think it makes you want to drink and be more hydrated. Anthony, thank you so much for hanging out with me, talking about life, talking about music, talking a little bit about craft beer. Everyone, go check out Comedian if you haven't already. It's a killer, killer fucking record. It was very close to making my top 10 last year, despite the fact that I discovered it so goddamn late in the year. Really cool. I re-listened to it today, and I was like, oh, yeah, I really like this. I need to listen to this again. So I'm going to. Anthony, thank you so much. This was great. Massive cheers to you. I hope, we can keep hanging out. But you got a show to play, so you should go do that. Massive cheers.
Indeed, yeah. All right, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, I am such a huge fan of Comedian, this record that Without Waves dropped. I'm stoked that they're writing new stuff. Massive, massively stoked about that. Really, really am happy that I discovered this album because it just goes all over the place and it touches so many amazing musical genres and experiences that really resonate with me. Massive thanks to Anthony for taking some time hanging out with me before playing a gig. I hope the show went super well. I hope Steve Joe was there. And I hope you told him that I said hi. And I hope if you're listening right now, Steve, I hope you're doing well. I can't wait to see you again. Massive, massive thanks, Anthony. Go check out Comedian Without Waves. Trust me, it's an amazing record. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's VOXANDHOPS.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week that will contain all of the details of everything that has happened recently in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You get to see which episodes I dropped recently. You'll get to see which episodes I have coming up. You will get to hear about any projects that I have in the works before I announce them to the public, and you will get to see which albums the Vox and Hops album review crew have reviewed recently, and you'll get to see which albums Jerry Monk, Vox and Hops' metal architect, has added to the Brutal Awakenings playlist. Trust me, if you're looking for something new to listen to, the Brutal Awakenings playlist has all of the new best music. The playlist is available on Apple Music and Spotify, so do me a favor, sign up to the mailing list because there's always a lot of stuff going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, and I hate when you miss a single thing. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Telemedia and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a killer rest of the week. I will be back on Friday with another episode with Fred, also known as Chaos from Von Dogma I. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
It is now 2024. And the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out? And stop listening to other podcasts. Thank you.